What is up, bros? I'm Jonathan.
And I'm Caleb.
And we're a couple of bros on a mission to give you guys the most detailed movie reviews out there with as little bias as possible. Welcome to the All Bros. This week on the podcast, Caleb literally has the floor when it comes to Weekly Watch. I almost forgot the name. Because, yeah, like the guy's been watching some stuff, so can't wait to hear about that.
Well, not really. Actually, like, there's nothing new this week. These are just ones that I've had saved for, like, at least a month.
Yeah, if you guys haven't noticed, we've been gone for... Has it been a month already?
No, it's been, like, 3 weeks.
Damn, okay.
Yeah, this is our longest gap period ever.
Holy shit. Wow.
Yeah, because... Yeah, for those of you that don't know, I live on the East Coast. I got freaking hammered by Hurricane Helene without lube. And yeah, so she killed my power for 6 days. And so and luckily one of those days the first day was the day that we needed to record. And I was like, yeah. And so I couldn't record the following week because we had just gotten power back and we're still getting everything like put together and whatnot. And then last week we got royally screwed once again because we attempted to record last week, but it didn't end up happening because we tried to switch services because StreamYard freaking sold out and made their prices outrageous. Like we were paying what, $25 a month?
Yeah, sounds right.
Yeah, and then they freaking bumped it up, adding so little features. Like, if they would have added some, like, AI features, like the ones that a lot of these other services have, like, yeah, would have made sense. Like, it probably would have been a little bit easier to justify. But no, they decided to add, like, ooh, now you can have rounded corners on your... your squares, and you can have like all this super dumb frivolous bullshit, and I'm just like, and then they're like, yeah, but we're gonna like practically double the monthly amount, and I'm like, that is horseshit. Bye. But one of those things, we left without a plan, and we attempted to use a different service last week. Paid for like the pro membership and everything, and then I was like, man, all these AI features are super dope. And then we attempted to record, and it was like, yeah, not gonna happen. Like, it would record us for like what, like a minute maybe before it, like,
I think so.
Me. Yeah,
yeah, so it was always Caleb, like, it was always it, like, everything was fine on my side, but it would keep stopping Caleb's recording.
Yeah, and I don't know, listen, this isn't to brag, but I have better hardware than Rose.
No, yeah, he's absolutely right. Freaking, I'm working off a laptop. This guy has freaking what, 2-3 monitors?
I got 2 monitors. I do want a third, but that's besides the point.
Of course you do.
No, I have 2. Yeah, well, it's not even that. It's my desktop computer is just out of this world. Like, or at least out of this world compared to what I've had in the past.
Yeah.
And so,
and then there's me just working off of an HP laptop.
Yeah, but it's just like, you would think that if any of ours were to have issues, you would think it would have been Rose's. But no, his was working flawlessly, and I'm like, dude, what the shit? Cuz it kept kicking me off. I was doing all of the freaking processes, dude. All of them. Like, I even got, like, I was on customer service for like 2.5 hours trying to figure this shit out.
Damn, bro.
Dude, it was a long ass time. And I was like, dude, I have literally done everything in your troubleshooting page and then some. I've done everything that you've recommended. So I was like, screw it. Can we just get refunded? And they're just like, well, you only get the full refund at the, like, the, if you quit within the first 2 days. And I'm just like, I needed to get set up for the first 2 days. So that's like, that's what I spent my time doing. And they're like, well, too bad. But anyway, we got refunded a majority and now we're on a new service. And I am just fingers crossed that this doesn't come and screw us in the ass. Yeah, so we will seriously. Yeah, we'll see. We'll see how it goes. Yeah.
Fingers crossed. So far, so good.
Yeah. Like,
knock on wood.
Dude, yeah. No freaking joke. Like, don't freaking jinx us like that.
My bad.
Oh, shit. I was like, yeah, freaking nightmare. So I just got all of this shit set up today, which luckily it's basically the same setup as StreamYard. It's a little bit different. So anyway, we'll see how it goes.
Let's do this. Like I said, Caleb will be talking to us about his weekly watch. And then after that, we'll be jumping right into our headliner of the evening, which will be our breakdown of Transformers 1.
Hell yeah. All right, let's do this.
Let's do it.
Need motivation? Angry Dad Podcast. Trying to jumpstart your life? Angry Dad Podcast. You want help getting off the couch? Angry Dad Podcast. You need a verbal kick in the ass? Angry Dad Podcast. You want to hear from somebody who's been through it all? Angry Dad Podcast. I am here for you. You can find me on all podcast platforms.
All righty. Oh, this is you. I don't know what I'm doing. I am so messed up this week, so forgive me for all the mistakes I'm going to be making.
Yeah, man. Jumping into weekly watch. Before we talk about what Caleb has watched, I just want to point out I don't have an excuse this week, but all my time has been dedicated to finishing Monsters Season 2. And you know what? Even though a lot of it is not actually factually right, Ryan Murphy changed a lot of things, I still enjoyed it as much as Season 1 when he did Dahmer, because... Have you seen like any clips from it by chance?
I have not.
Okay, so it's Nicholas on my list. Chava,
but dude, okay, so Nick, I've added so much shit to my list lately. Like it is ridiculous.
So Nicholas Chavez, who plays Lyle Menendez, he literally is a caricature of Lyle, because Lyle was never that angry as they make Lyle out to be in this series. But there is. And it's been memed so much that when they're in prison and they're trying to get dimes so they can, you know, make calls, his grandma sends him money, and he's just like, "Grandma, I don't need money. I need dimes. Don't you understand? Dimes, 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 motherfucking dimes." Oh, just
shit. Don't be mean to granny, you asshole.
I agree. No, I absolutely agree. But just the memes that have come out of that. Like you've had to see the one with when he's just like, "Yes, motherfucker, yes, you're getting those pants in every color, bro. Are you seeing this shit? Like, please, like, you've seen that one, right?"
I have literally seen nothing.
I'm really shocked that hasn't come up on your For You page.
It might have, but anytime I see something that looks like it's come from that show, I usually swipe on.
Okay, that's good.
Like it's me trying to like avoid spoilers.
No, that's smart. Yeah, like I said, despite what inaccuracies it gets, because I know it gets a lot, even like freaking Eric Menendez actually commented to his wife, told his wife to like comment, like, "Why are we still lying about our case?" And, you know, putting these facts out that aren't true. I feel it's still a really good second season. And it's actually like brought awareness more so to the Menendez case. And I don't know if you've heard this, but there's actually talks of there being a resentencing so that the two brothers might actually not spend the rest of their life in jail. Which personally, I feel they shouldn't.
You don't think?
And you'll understand. No, oh, like,
okay.
Like, I watch the show and you'll understand. I feel.
Well, didn't you just say the show's factually like incorrect?
Yeah, so in a lot of aspects, it is, but it still gets the point across. What their parents did to them was really messed up, especially their father, and just like. I don't want to get into it.
So is the thing, what exactly did they get wrong? Was it the, like a characterization that they got wrong, or
they, like, what was they it? made The biggest one that they, because like Eric and Lyle Menendez, like, have a really close brotherly bond. Like, they really love each other. But the show kind of like brother, like, you know, brotherly bond is a very special thing.
Right.
But when you over sexualize it, when you're just like, okay, maybe that's what, like a shit? Little too much. Yeah. And it kind of leans into that category a little bit. Like there are some scenes that I'm just like, they're like the way that they're the way that Eric is touching Lyle in like a party scene, like rubbing his hand down his face or something like that. And I'm just like, yeah, that, no, like
what the hell?
Yeah.
That's a bit too much.
You know, that's just Ryan Murphy being dramatic with his actors.
Yeah, fair enough.
But yeah, no, like I'm excited for you to check it out and get your opinion on.
Yeah. I still need to watch freaking there's a couple movies kind of dispersed that I need to watch. I still want to watch The Penguin, which I think I'm waiting for all the episodes to come out for that. Then I want to watch Agatha All Along. And then what else? Oh, and then I was wanting to watch that mythology series that Zack Snyder put out on Netflix.
Oh, I didn't know about that.
Yeah, it's like animated.
Oh shit. Okay. Yeah,
so I'm super big into mythology, and so he does like this whole Norse mythology thing, and it's like animated, and I've seen a couple clips, and it looks really good. It looks really freaking good. Like highly stylized, and I love that.
Ooh, okay.
So yeah, I want to check that out. And then I think after that, I need to watch the first season of Monsters. So I might just binge both seasons.
Just know that season one is definitely more effed up than season two, just because, you know, the person that they're focusing on.
Yeah, I had a feeling.
I will say one. So I saw the first episode of Everybody Still Hates Chris. Have you seen like any clips from that?
I saw the trailer for it. Is it as good?
It's not as good as the original, but it's still really good.
Ah, damn. I was hoping it was going to be as good.
Like personally, I don't think it's as good. I think it's just like a step down, but I'm still having a good time from what I've seen. But for the way that they put it into animation, it's like you're just like, okay, it's funny, but you're just like, okay, I guess that's really all that you could have done. Do you remember the ending of Everybody Hates Chris?
Yes, I actually recently rewatched all of that.
Okay, so it opens with when they're all in the diner, and they open up his essay. It was GED scores.
Yeah.
And it has like literally it's still in live action. He's like, oh, what does it say? And it pans out to the front of the diner, and the mom goes, you failed. And he's like, what? And she goes, boy, I'm gonna slap you into animation. Slaps him.
I love that.
Here we are. And there we go. There's Everybody Still Hates Chris.
Okay, obviously they can't do original cast. Did they get
So they got the mom and dad back. They got
Cruz
and I forget the lady that played Rochelle. But like actually like a lot of the other like adult actors came back, which was like freaking like it's honestly like crazy. Like you could pick up the voices, you're just like, oh, that's Doc. Mr. Lamar from Upstairs. Like it's really cool, like being able to pick out their voices.
Do they play their characters? Or are they playing? Yeah. Okay, good. I was so worried about that. I was like, I mean, obviously you can't not do the freaking, or you can't have the kids because they're old and grown. And the guy who plays or who played Chris, his voice is all types of deep.
Yeah, like, damn.
Yeah. And like, have you watched the show that he's in, Abbott Elementary?
I've seen clips, but I've never actually watched it.
Great show.
Yeah, like, that's what I've heard.
It takes a solid minute to get into, but it's good once you get into it. Like once you start caring for the characters, like then you're like, all right, like I'm here for it. But yeah, I was like, yeah, I figured that they'd have to recast the kids, but I was hoping that with the adult characters they would keep.
No, like from what I've heard, all of the adult actors came back, which is awesome. But the kids are doing great too. The kid that they picked to play Chris, I think is a really good fit.
Awesome. What's that on?
So it's premiering on Comedy Central, but I think it's like on like Tubi or Freevee. That's how you can watch it. It's not like on Hulu or anything like that.
Okay. Well, cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. So outside of shows, there's a couple movies that I've watched within the past month that I've been holding on to for quite a while. The first movie that I'm going to talk about is Uglies on Netflix. It has very divergent vibes about it.
Is that good or bad?
Yeah.
Because, I mean, Divergent never finished, so.
Right. No, it was first Divergent, where it was, like, actually kind of good.
Okay.
This wasn't perfect by any stretch of the imagination. Like, it is very, like, dystopian future situation. So what happens is there are these, like, there's a community of people. And when they are born, once they reach a certain age, they go to live in this community of what they call uglies. And it's just people with their natural features.
Huh.
Yeah. And so, and then what they when they get old enough, and I believe the age was 16. It might be 18. It's 16 or 18. But once they reach that age, they're eligible to go and get this procedure done that makes them what they call pretties. And so it basically just gives them whatever features they want, gets rid of like any insecurity that they have about their face, like it'll fix it. And so like some people want to be taller, like this dude, if you're looking at the poster right now, the second guy in the freaking blondie, he kind of has like a busted up nose. A little bit. It's not bad. Like, it, I mean, it's obviously like these people like look normal and then they go and like get this procedure done and they just look very plasticky. And then they have like strange colored eyes and whatnot. But this whole time, like they're trying to like freaking sell that Joey King is one of these uglies. And I'm like, dude, I could buy a lot of shit. Cannot buy this. But anyway, so her and her friend, like, super close friend, so, the like, freaking blondie here, they make a pact that once he gets the surgery or once he goes through the procedure that they'll meet at this bridge and they'll be, like, he'll let her know what it, like, how it is and blah, 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 blah. It doesn't end up happening. Like, she basically gets stood up. And so she's like, okay, something must have happened to him. She goes and tracks him down, realizes that he's basically just been taken over, like his brain and whatnot. And so she goes back to her little community of uglies, connects with the chick in the back. They become close friends. And then she introduces Joey King's character to like a revolution, where their whole goal is just for people to live and be in their own natural state. And it's definitely like one of those cheesy utopia situations, but I dug it. Mm-hmm. I liked it enough. They did kind of leave it on a cliffhanger, so I am hoping that they do a follow up. Like, I'd love to see a sequel to this, but I mean it was good. Like I enjoyed the movie. But yeah, so I'm giving Uglies a stream it. This isn't one that's like, I would say is worth going to check out in like theaters or anything. It's definitely meant to be viewed at home.
All right.
The CGI in this though, surprisingly good. Like yeah, considering yeah. a Netflix, like it, does it look rubbery? Yes. But I think they do enough cool shit with it that I'm like, I can get behind it.
All right.
The next movie I watched is The Union. This was also surprisingly good. I heard nothing but like bad shit about this movie. I liked it a lot. Like I
so
found
it's
this...
Mark Wahlberg and who else?
Halle Berry.
Oh, Halle Berry.
Yeah.
Yeah, but they are old high school sweethearts. Or oh, like okay. That's the thing that they're or the roles that they're playing. She is an agent within this secret intelligence agency called the Union. And the way that they differentiate themselves is that they basically like go undercover and hide as blue collar workers. And most of the people that work there are blue collar workers. So like they hide around as garbage men, basically like the help, right?
Gotcha. Okay.
So any blue that's how they blend into their environment or whatever. So she's an agent within the Union. He is just he still lives in his old hometown and is just not really doing much with his life until she comes and recruits him because they need someone that like. No one knows, like someone that's completely off books and whatnot, because there's a risk of all like the names of people within the FBI and CIA, like their names possibly getting leaked. So like that's the whole thing that they go through there. But their chemistry is off the charts. Like it is so much fun. Like watching them interact is hilarious. Like I thoroughly enjoyed this movie, and I heard nothing but bad shit about it. Like, oh, this movie's garbage. Like, it's not. It's definitely cheesy. It's over the top, but turn your brain off. Have a good time with it.
All right.
Yeah. My only real complaint about this, it's a bit long. Like,
How long is it?
That's a great question. Let's find out. Oh, yeah. That's right. My browser doesn't work.
Oh. Tell me to look it up.
Nah, hour 47.
Okay. So like you think they could have like cut like 15 minutes?
Yeah. 15-20? This okay. They could have easily taken this to an hour and a half. I think they filled it up just a bit too much. And that's saying a lot because like the movie feels longer than an hour 47.
Damn.
Which isn't necessarily a good recommendation, but it's a recommendation nonetheless.
Yeah.
So I'm giving this I gave it nothing better to do. It was enjoyable, but
this movie up and then I have nothing better to do.
I know, honestly,
I've done that before,
by it.
No.
I respect it. I had this on as like background noise and It worked well for that. So the stuff that I did catch, I was like, hey, that's pretty good. But yeah, it's definitely better as background noise than anything. But it's still an enjoyable movie. Like this is touching that stream it line, just not quite passing it.
All right.
The next one is another movie I've heard was kind of garbage. Atlas.
Oh god, dude, this movie got shit on so bad.
Not that bad. It is again, a little over the top, like action wise, but freaking J-Lo brings it, dude.
Okay.
Like her acting in this is pretty freaking solid. The only thing I don't think I enjoyed was Simu Liu's character.
Oh, that's unfortunate.
Yeah, but he plays like an AI that J-Lo's mother invented, and he goes rogue because he goes rogue, threatens to destroy the planet, blah 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 blah. Like you know the shtick.
Yeah.
But he and his AI buddies, they freaking peace out to a new planet. So they develop these new AI robots that hardwire, like you have to connect with them, like what they call it, syncing. So they're basically connected, where the AI and the human are both connected once they sync. She like refuses because she's super anti-AI because, of course, the freaking Simu Liu's character killed her mom and whatnot. Like I said, a little over the top, little cheesy, but pretty freaking good.
Uh-huh.
Very predictable. Like, I don't think there's anything like groundbreaking with the story. Like a lot of the twists and turns you can see coming from a mile away.
Hmm.
So, like I said, nothing too special there. But I'd say for her acting, pretty freaking solid. I am giving this a stream it. Like, I don't remember what I gave this. I psyched myself out. But that's what I ended up watching this or a few weeks ago.
I think that's it. Okay. All right. Well, then moving past weekly watch, what do you say we jump into our headliner of the evening?
I say, let's do it.
All right. All right, getting right into our headliner of the evening, which will be our breakdown of Transformers 1. Caleb, do you want to let people know how we break down movies on this podcast?
I would love to. If you're new to our breakdown system, we have split movies into 8 different categories that we individually score to come to a final All Bros letter grade. The 8 categories that we score are story, writing, acting, character development, effects, music, costumes, and then we give our own personal score at the very end. All of those numbers get magically added up and spit through our algorithm and give us a letter grade to compare this movie to others of a similar grade. If you have not seen Transformers 1, please do yourself the favor and go check it out. Oh my gosh.
You have to see this on the big screen.
Oh, so freaking good. So, yeah, spoilers.
Yeah.
Oh, but yeah. So if you have not seen this movie, yeah, stop, come back, listen to this episode. But if you listen beyond this point and anything's spoiled for you, sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Rose is about to spoil the entire freaking movie for you in our favorite segment that we like to call Reading with Rose. Still getting used to this new system. Hold on. No, there we go.
You're good, man. Yeah, I'm glad we kept that title. Just kidding. Yeah.
So, yeah, if you listen beyond this point, everything is going to be spoiled for you. So you have been properly warned. We are posting that spoiler warning now.
All right. Cybertron is a planet inhabited by sentient robots fueled by a substance called Energon and fitted with transformation cogs, devices that allow them to transform into vehicles. In the city of Laken, Orion Pax, a mining robot without a cog, sneaks into an archive and watches a documentary on the Primes, the first Cybertronians made directly by their creator, Primus. Security guards catch Orion, but his best friend, D-16, bails him out. Later, a cave-in occurs in the Energon mine where the two work, trapping fellow miner Jazz. While Orion and D-16 save him, their overseer, Darkwing, blames the incident on their superior, Alita One, and has her demoted. Cybertron's leader, Sentinel Prime, returns from an expedition to the planet's surface, claiming to have fought off invading Quintesson? Is that what it is?
That sounds right.
Sure. Let's go with that. Quintesson aliens and organizes a race and celebration. To prove themselves as more than miners, Orion and D-16 enter illegally using jetpacks but lose. While Sentinel promises to reward them for inadvertently boosting mining morale, Darkwing reassigns the two to garbage incineration, where they meet the eccentric B-127. That's the end of the sentence. After discovering a chip among the junk containing a distress message from Alpha Trion, one of the Primes, Orion convinces D-16 and B-127 to travel with him to his coordinates on the surface, later also persuading Alita to join after she catches them hitchhiking on a cargo train. The four eventually find a deactivated in a cave alongside the corpses of the other Primes. Upon reactivation, Trion.
What the hell?
Why is this word so hard for me to say?
I know, that's not even the most difficult word.
No, it's not. All right, Trion reveals that Sentinel betrayed the Primes and has secretly been working for the Quintessons, giving them regular Energon supplies in exchange for letting him rule Cybertron while removing the miners' cogs to keep them subservient. That's a big word. Trion? Is that what it was again?
Trion.
Trion provides the group with cogs, allowing them to transform and a chip carrying evidence of Sentinel's treason. Sentinel and his forces then arrive, capturing and killing Trion. Evading their pursuers, the team travels back to Lacan to expose Sentinel, but is captured by the High Guard. Warbots rebelling against Sentinel. While D-16 takes command of them by defeating their leader Starscream, Orion grows concerned by his friend's increasing aggression since learning the truth. Sentinel's forces then find them, and in the ensuing battle, the evidence chip is destroyed, while D-16, B-127, and half the High Guard are captured and taken back to Lacan. Orion, encouraged by Alita, rallies the remaining High Guard members and returns to Lacan to rescue their comrades. Once there, Orion convinces the miners to rebel, while Alita exposes Sentinel by broadcasting his Lieutenant Arachnid's memory recordings throughout the city. After defeating Sentinel, however, Orion and D-16 argue over whether to execute him, resulting in the latter accidentally shooting the former. While initially horrified, D-16 ultimately lets Orion fall to his death. Now calling himself Megatron, he kills Sentinel and commands the High Guard to destroy Lacan. The spirits of Primus and the Primes bestow Orion with the Matrix of Leadership, reviving him as Optimus Prime, who then defeats Megatron before exiling him and the High Guard. After the Matrix restores the miners' cogs and Cybertron's dried-up Energon reserves, Optimus christens his followers as Autobots and sends a message warning the Quintessons to stay away. Meanwhile, Megatron renames the High Guard into the Decepticons and declares war on Optimus.
Hail to the yes.
So fucking good.
Oh my,
I don't know why I'm bleeping myself. I already said the F word quite a few times this episode.
Yeah, it's already getting marketed as explicit. Freaking have at it, dude.
Okay.
But, bro, this movie had no business being this good.
No, it did not. I honestly, you know, when I walked out of this movie, I told myself, okay, you know what? I'm going to finally go watch the original Transformers movie, and I still haven't. Kicking my ass for that.
Oh, my God.
Have you seen the original?
No.
Yeah. Okay, well, okay, we both need to watch that now, because, like, I'm assuming it's just as good as this, because, I mean, that's what I've heard.
Yeah, dude, they killed this. This movie really did better than anything that we got from Michael Bay.
Oh yeah, 100%. Like the first Michael Bay movie is like pure nostalgia. Like if you really dive into it, like the writing's not great, the characters are hit and miss. Like we were all just in awe of seeing these huge ass robots transform in front of our eyes. And I feel that's why the first one holds a special place in a lot of millennials' hearts. But, you know, as the movies went on, it just got worse and worse and worse. And then you got Bumblebee, which was, you know, a high point in the Transformers series. And then, what was the one that we got last year?
Rise of the Beast. Rise of the Beast.
Which I thought was just, eh. It felt so nice walking out of a Transformers movie and being just like, fuck, that was good.
Dude, chills throughout this movie. Yeah. Oh my gosh. Like, they did everything right. Like, they didn't miss a beat at all.
They did not.
They established the brotherhood between Optimus and Megatron flawlessly enough to, and then like you see the descent of Megatron, and I'm like, dude, like, cause you, it's like this whole time, it's like, I know what, like the route that he's going down. Like, you know where this is headed.
Yeah.
Like even knowing that knowledge, like you, it breaks your heart to see. Cause you're just like, oh man, like, this isn't going to end well for them. Like, obviously, like, you kind of hope that it does, like, in the back of your heart, but you know it's not. And it just...
Dude, that moment when he told Optimus, I'm done saving you, and just dropped to my mouth dropped. I'm like,
mine too.
Oh.
Dude, I like, again, I knew it was coming. Like, you knew by the end of this they were not going to be friends anymore.
No, yeah, like, you knew that the Autobots and Decepticons were going to be established.
Oh my gosh. But yeah, dude, that wrecked me.
Yeah,
like, it's... watching him drop him, I'm just like, oh man. And then the freaking badass like lines that we get, which obviously we'll get into with writing, but when he just yells, I am Megatron, I'm like, my brain was ready to explode all over the freaking seat. It was so good.
Oh, so good. Yeah,
it's hard.
I don't know what else to say.
I know, you see them go through like some tough times together, like even within this movie, where they're like, yeah. I mean, you see like Orion taking the time to like get him like one of the Megatronus stickers or decals for D16.
That was so cool.
Yeah, it was super cool. And he's like, oh yeah, like hell yeah, this is dope. And it's just like, oh, freaking early signs of the Decepticons.
Yep.
And
then freaking when Sentinel engraved it into his chest, shit.
Dude. You're just like, you're making this worse for yourself, bro. And
you are literally creating Megatron in right before your eyes.
Yeah. I'm like, if you only knew what was coming, bro.
Yeah.
I am so happy that they incorporated so much of what we've all been excited about with Transformers. Like, they established the relationship between Bumblebee and Optimus Prime.
Yeah.
The only character I feel got a little, that felt maybe a little unnecessary was, what was her name? Alita?
Yeah, so RC.
Or Aquila, or, yeah. Is that who she is?
Yeah, she's RC.
Oh, okay. Not familiar with her character, so maybe that's why she felt a little unnecessary. Oh,
I'm honestly not either, but I don't know from what I don't know how accurate she's portrayed in the Michael Bay movies. The way that they portrayed her in this one, while it is way better, it's like kind of still on the same level of character development. Like she's definitely like one that, you know, plays by the books. She's there to encourage. And so like, yeah, like, you know, yeah, Bumblebee is definitely Optimus's right-hand man, but she's also Optimus's right-hand man.
Yeah.
When it comes to the Autobots.
Yeah. I don't know. I wish that they would have done a little bit more with her, but honestly, you probably could have cut her. As much as I hate to say.
Yeah, that's fair. But I mean, for what we got,
a small complaint in the grand scheme of things. Like, yeah. This movie was just so good. It's just like, hey, you probably could have cut this out and been fine.
Yeah. No, that's fair.
But oh my gosh, dude. So freaking good.
Yeah, dude. Ugh.
Like, let's just get straight into this freaking story.
Sounds good to me.
Oh my gosh. I was blown out of the water with this. They had freaking chore to set up with this movie. Like,
they
telling
really
us
did.
The origin of Optimus of Orion to Optimus and then D16 to Megatron. Like that was a chore.
No, like seriously, and it still blows my mind that the director of this was also the director of Toy Story 4. And I, you know, I'm not a hater of Toy Story 4. I think it's just all right. Like it's good. It's decent. Didn't need to happen, but it's not awful. I just think it's good. Whereas like this one is just freaking great.
Yeah.
So like freaking it's definitely clear that like he understands Transformers more than he does Toy Story.
This is
so not knocking the guy for.
Yeah, this is where I'm at with that. He knocked it out of the park with this one. I feel like with Toy Story 4, how would you have gone about it any different?
I absolutely agree.
It's like, cool, like you get invited to Disney or to Disney and Pixar to basically create this new story. Like, you're not going to let's face it, you're not going to turn down freaking Pixar.
No,
there's no way. So you don't turn down Pixar for and like, oh, well, I don't really know where the story is going to go. You're going to freaking figure it out. And yeah, like
yeah.
Coming into a franchise that was basically done. Impossible task.
Absolutely. And honestly, the end product that we got, I feel was as good as it could ever be. Yeah. I don't think that you could have had a better story, character development, anything like that in a fourth Toy Story film.
Yeah.
And so honestly, like kudos to this guy for actually being able to pull it off and as well as he did with the fourth Toy Story.
But with this, they treated it like, oh, this is an origin film. This is where, like, this is the goal. Like, you just have to get us here. Like, where Optimus and Megatron are enemies and Bumblebee's in the picture. Like, this is where you need to get us to. This is where we're at square one versus, hey, continue this story that's basically done. Like, he got to come in and kind of do whatever he wanted with it, as long as the end result was
what we all expect.
Yeah, what we all expect.
Because I feel that when it comes to the Autobots and Decepticons, the two Autobots that people care about the most are Optimus and Bumblebee, and then Decepticons are Megatron and Starscream.
Yep.
And they pulled all four of those characters off perfectly here. Like, even though he's in it for just a little bit, Starscream is absolutely fantastic.
Oh my gosh. The origin for Starscream's voice. Perfect, dude.
Yeah, dude. Freaking, yeah. Megatron's the one that makes him go high pitched. Like, makes complete sense.
Yeah. And then he gets freaking roasted for it. Yeah. He's like, wow, that's annoying. Or, like, it's like, yeah, that's exactly how it should have been, dude.
Yeah.
Like, that was perfect. I was so impressed with that. I was like, dude, he knew what he was doing. Like, he knew damn well what he was doing. First off, casting Steve Buscemi as Starscream, already inspired. And yeah. I was like, all right, cool. Perfect. So now we know why he has an annoying voice and blah, 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 blah. And then they made it worse. And you're like, yes.
Are you saying that Steve Buscemi has an annoying voice?
I'm just saying, like, it not necessarily annoying, but you know what I mean.
No, I know.
It's I don't know. Like, they nailed it. They absolutely nailed it.
Yeah. God damn. So, so good.
It's crazy, like, how well they pulled off everything. The origin behind Megatron and Optimus was just, it was heartbreaking to watch, especially when they did the freaking flashback where they like were just meeting.
Oh yeah.
And then
they're just like, if you got my back, I got yours. I'm like, oh fuck, no.
Yeah, and then it cuts to and they're freaking having at it. Like, oh man. But you understand both perspectives though. Like, 100%. Especially like with this origin, I think that's another thing that they did really well. You understand both sides, where Orion was just like, we need to right this wrong. There needs to be justice, or justice needs to be brought. The people need to know the truth, like the righteous path. And then Megatron's just like, no, this fool needs to die. Like, he needs to be executed in front of everyone, like, yeah, and just shown for what the monster that he is and all this. And so he took a very like dark turn, and you understand both sides because like
100%,
he like Optimus, he idolized these people and idolized the like Centurion because he was a Prime. And they're just like, oh, they took different like views of what the Primes were. Like where he's like, oh, they're great. Like Optimus is like, they're great leaders. They're protectors of the planet and all this and that. And Megatron looked up to them like gods. And he's like,
yeah,
no, but they have betrayed their people, deceived us and all like all of this other shit. So I'm just like, God, like you understand both sides, and I loved it for that. I'm like, yeah, like this is true. Whose side are you on? Like the side of the Autobots or side of the Decepticons? Yep. Like this is one where you could go either way, and I don't think either's a bad decision.
Yeah.
Versus kinda, the other, just yeah, like, yeah, the Decepticons are here to like wipe out humanity. Like, in Michael Bay's version, it's just like, what were the Decepticons? What was the goal? To destroy this planet? Like, okay, cool. Like, super easy to be against them. And if you were on the team of the Decepticons, you were just kind of like, I don't know. Like, yeah, they were cooler and stuff, so you could be like on their team, like, because they're cooler. But I mean, story-based, like, story-wise, like,
no, I get you.
You don't make sense. It doesn't make sense to root like for them. Here it's like, yeah, you could absolutely root for them.
Yeah, no, definitely. Getting off tangent really quickly, did you ever play Transformers the game from the first movie? The freaking, do you remember the if you're like, you're playing on the Decepticon side during the New York battle, just the height difference between Blackout and Ironhide is insane. Like, it felt like Blackout could just squash Ironhide at any moment.
No joke. No like, freaking joke. But yeah, I other than Optimus and Bumblebee, the Decepticons have a much cooler selection.
Oh, dude, like, seriously. Dude, I am still so mad because Bone Crusher was my favorite Decepticon in the first one, and he died in, like, 5 minutes.
Yep.
Such bullshit, but he got one of the coolest scenes in all of Transformers movies with him freaking skating on the freeway. That was so badass.
Dude, my favorite Decepticon, and this isn't from Michael Bay, like, this is just the overall favorite Decepticon. I personally really like Soundwave.
Ooh, good choice. Very good choice.
Yeah. What's the other one? The one with the single, like the one eye? Shockwave?
Oh, shit. Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. Shockwave. I love that Bumblebee's like, doesn't that get confusing? Like, dude, straight up though. Like, I love that they poked fun at the shit that everyone's thinking.
Yeah.
Like, I think that's just what like kind of enhanced like my overall view of this movie, because like they could have easily taken themselves too seriously, but they didn't. They're yeah. just like, all right, like we're going all in. Like the shit that needs to be serious, we're taking serious. But the shit that like everyone just kind of unanimously agrees upon, like Shockwave and Soundwave, like yeah, like or Starscream's voice, like yeah, we're gonna poke some fun at that stuff.
Oh, so good.
But I loved it. I freaking loved it. This story was so good, so well paced, and just like I said, so much better than it needed to be.
Yeah.
Like when the bar's on the freaking ground, like it doesn't take a whole lot to be better than Michael Bay's, but they did it.
This one freaking shot to the moon.
Straight up. Oh, where are you sitting with story?
Oh, I am pretty goddamn high.
Same here.
I think I'm gonna be at 94.
I'm at 97. This is an almost
fair enough.
This is an almost perfect story for me.
No, that is completely fair.
Yeah, the only thing that might have affected it whatsoever is the inclusion of, I want to say it's Aquila or
RC. You can just call it RC.
Yeah, RC is the inclusion of RC.
All right. Not completely.
I don't think she was completely necessary. But she was in
ScarJo?
No, I freaking love ScarJo. This is some. We'll get into this in acting, but this is some of the best voice work I've seen from her.
Oh, dude. Yeah. Straight up.
Yeah. Moving on over to writing. Again, freaking top tier.
Yeah, dude. Oh my. Ah. So freaking. I know it's like it's the end credit scene, but freaking when Megatron is like hyping all the Decepticons up, and you know, he switches the Decepticon name, and they all get like the logos freaking placed on them, and they roll out. Oh my god, like his monologue, I got freaking chills
during that. Dude, I'll say this, his argument for naming them Decepticons a little weak, because him being like we're against deception, like there will be no more deception, and but you're calling yourself Decepticons, it kind of sounds like that's your thing.
Yeah, kind of a little stretch in there, but you know what, I'll give it a pass.
Yeah, I mean, your speech is hyping me up. Like, this is something that, like, if I hear this speech, I'm getting the tattoo, and then I'm like, you know what, I'm just starting to realize that doesn't really make any sense.
Oh shit.
Oh, but that was super good. The freaking like Optimus, dude. Like once that he became
Optimus,
that was the bomb.
Dude, I love that both of them had badass ending monologues. Optimus is at the end of the movie, and then Megatron's in the end credits scene.
Again, this is getting into acting. I am genuinely surprised that Peter Cullen did not do any voice work for the end. Not because like I feel like he should have. It's because I would have sworn that Chris Hemsworth sounded exactly like him.
No, right? Because I remember seeing it in an interview. Like they had that plan that, you know, like he was gonna just start off kind of like sounding a little bit like Chris Hemsworth, but as the movie progressed and when he became Optimus Prime, like he was going to give like the best Peter Cullen impression that he could give. And he did it. Like, damn.
He nailed it. And dude, nothing gets me more hyped than a good Peter Cullen monologue. And now Chris Hemsworth.
Dude, yeah.
Oh, I love him. He has pushed himself artistically to the edge. And he's just constantly like pushing himself past like anything that I'm like when he first got announced, like to voice Optimus, I was so hesitant. I was like, there's no way. Yeah. Like that this is gonna be good, but he nailed it.
And to think this is his first voice acting role.
Oh my gosh.
What a way to start out. Right on the top.
That's not true.
Oh, it's not? I thought I heard that.
Well, outside of MCU, because he voiced himself, or he voiced Thor in What If.
Oh, okay.
So technically not.
can we not count that?
What If is a good show, you asshole?
No, I'm not saying What If's a bad show. I'm just saying he's literally just doing the voice. I get it's a voiceover, but it's the voice of a character he plays in live action. This is actually an fully animated character that he actually does a voice for. So in my book, I'm going to say that this is his first like actual big voice acting role.
Pick and choose.
Oh, man. All right. Well, if we're going to be petty.
Oh, shit. I'm looking just to see if there's anything that we might have missed. It doesn't seem like it. So, yeah.
Okay.
The only technically, it was Thor. And then
technically
Optimus Prime. Yeah. But bro, the dialogue here is freaking pristine. They nailed this.
I'll tell you what, I was shocked about the fact that they could get away with saying Badassatron like 5 or 6 times in a PG movie.
Same. Completely like, same. Oh my gosh, dude, Bumblebee. I was afraid for Bumblebee. I was like, because sometimes I feel like Keegan-Michael Key can take it a little far. I think he took it just far enough. He was walking a line, don't get me wrong, but I think he stayed on the right side of it. Because there was a lot of lines with him that I was like, I was dying.
Yeah.
Like when they come in that room after he's done and like sliced up all the controls and they're just like, what you do that for? And he's like, oh, that was already like that. Right. And they're like, oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
I hate that got that joke got ruined in the trailer, but
dude, oh, there was a lot of freaking like one-liners. I was like, yo, what? Like I was taken so off guard by some, and I love when a movie can do that.
Yeah. You freaking him when he would talk about his like his friends and I've what happens like one of their heads falls off and he's just like no or some shit like that.
Yeah, and he tells Orion that he killed Steve and he's like, yo, I didn't kill Steve. And then D's in the back like, Steve wasn't even alive.
Oh man,
so freaking funny. Oh man, I love the writing here. I don't think it was as perfect as the story, though.
I'm the same way.
Like, this is one I'm probably down where you're at with writing. Like, I'm at a 94. It was top tier. Like, don't get me wrong. Yeah. Like, the dialogue that we get from both Optimus and Megatron, prime. Absolute. Yeah, pun intended. But yeah, it was peak Transformers. It was exactly what Peter Cullen would have been capable of.
100%.
And yeah, Hemsworth knocked it out of the park, and it was just so well written, dude. So yeah. Well written. But yeah, I'm at 94.
I think I'm just going to be 1 point below at a 93.
All right, moving on over to acting. Going through this cast, we got Chris Hemsworth, who voiced the man, the myth, the legend, Orion Pax, a.k.a. Optimus Prime. Then we got Brian Tyree Henry, who voiced D-16, who becomes Megatron. Scarlett Johansson, who voiced Alita 1. It was Alita. Why was I saying Aquila? Yeah, Alita 1. Then we got Keegan-Michael Key, who voiced B-127, a.k.a. Bumblebee. Then we got Steve Buscemi, who voiced Starscream. Lawrence Fishburne, who voiced Alpha Trion. And then we got John Hamm, who voiced Sentinel Prime. This is going to be an interesting one when it comes to top three. What?
Yeah.
Where are you sitting?
I think number one, just because I love Megatron so much as a character, and I love the Decepticons, so I got to give number one to Brian Tyree Henry.
Dude, hell yeah. It was such a close call. Like, for a majority, I was sitting there, I'm like, all right, Chris Hemsworth is definitely taking home like number one, and then he gives the whole "I am Megatron" line. I'm like, boom, like, I'm done. Like, yeah,
no,
way to freaking
yeah,
finish with a punch.
No, like seriously, just absolutely amazing performance. And is this his first voice acting, or is Brian Tyree Henry done more?
That's a great question. I want to say that this might be his first.
Here, let me check. Oh no, freaking he plays Miles' dad in Spider-Verse. I forgot about that.
Oh shit, that's right.
Yeah. So, yeah, guy already has an impressive resume when it comes to voice acting, and he just kicked it up a notch with how he voiced D-16/Megatron. Like, holy shit. Like, the way that he's able to deepen his vocal cords, especially, like, what you pointed out when he says, "I am Megatron," like, fuck, dude. Like, holy shit. Like, yeah. I got, like, goosebumps, absolute chills.
Same here, dude. Like, that shit just resonated through the whole room. And I'm like, like, yeah. I was so hyped. So freaking hyped.
Just, like, comparing the tone in his voice with that moment to when we were first introduced to him, him and Orion's relationship, it's just insane. Like, the journey that this character goes on, but honestly, both him and Optimus or Orion, such great kind of, you know, like, skipping ahead a little bit here, but just amazing character development in this movie.
Yeah.
But yeah, so Brian Tyree Henry, number one. Number two, got to give to Chris Hemsworth, Orion Pax, just as good. Brian just edged him out a little bit. But that doesn't take away for how amazing Chris Hemsworth was in this role. If anyone could make Peter Cullen proud for taking on the role of Optimus Prime and not only making it his own, but trying to make his voice sound as close as he can to Peter Cullen, Chris Hemsworth was truly the man for the job. Just listening to how his voice starts out, you know, like, kind of a little more soft spoken, but But then once we get to the ending and freaking you get him giving his badass monologue and saying, "I am Optimus Prime. We are the Autobots. Any Decepticons that come in our way, let them know our wrath." Or I know I'm making shit up. I can't remember the whole freaking monologue. But just, so freaking good.
Yeah, straight up. All right, who's your number three?
So number three, I think number three I'm going to give to Steve Buscemi, Starscream.
Really?
He was just absolutely fantastic, and just I felt a little bad that freaking just Starscream got choked to death, and that's how he got his high pitched voice. But freaking Steve Buscemi was the perfect choice for Starscream, and he's a great voice actor to begin with. Freaking Randall from Monsters Inc. Like, come on. And so just seeing his voice come out of one, like Starscream is definitely up there for me when it comes to favorite Decepticons, even though a lot of people freaking bitch and complain about Starscream and saying he's just Megatron's bitch. I think Starscream can actually be cool. And he actually has had some really good character moments written for him. Every moment that Steve Buscemi was on screen as Starscream, I absolutely loved. I will say, like, Steve Buscemi, like, barely squeaked a little above Keegan-Michael Key. It was close. Like, Keegan-Michael Key was absolutely fantastic as Bumblebee or B-127. Steve Buscemi just inched just a little more forward than him.
Fair enough, dude. Yeah, this didn't help with the whole being Megatron's bitch thing.
No, it did not.
But it did make a little bit more sense that they're like the High Guard and that they were like, this is how things are run. It's basically whoever, like, the strongest is their leader, which makes sense. Totally freaking tracks.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, when Megatron comes in, just freaking wrecks him, you're just like, yeah, sounds about right.
Yeah.
Really, really well done. But my number three, it's just because I was super impressed with her performance, I'm giving it to ScarJo.
All right. Hell yeah.
I think it was just like her yelling was really impressive, because like a lot of her, she kind of keeps the same tone. Like, it's not necessarily monotone, but anytime like she's done voice work or even her acting, she's very like, she keeps like the range consistent. Like, it fluctuates a little bit like with different emotions, but you don't see it jump from like kind of soothing to super intent. Like, it jumps around a lot more than like some of her other roles. And she does seem like a very like soft spoken person, and like obviously I've seen her like kind of yell or stuff in like Avengers, but not quite to this degree. And it she impressed me a lot, even though I didn't necessarily think her character was 100% relevant in this. I did quite enjoy her performance. And I think the only thing keeping Keegan-Michael Key from getting four was, I think, like I said, he was walking that line.
Yeah.
And I think he might have tiptoed a little bit over it at times.
No, that's fair.
Like when he was yelling and he just like kept calling himself Badassatron like four times in a row, I'm like, bro, can we be done with this?
Yeah, we get it.
Yeah, like, you used up all of your Badassatron jokes for the rest of the movie. Thank you, sir.
Yeah.
I wish, now that I think about it, Sam Witwicky was the one that gave him the nickname, right? Bumblebee? Or did he have the name when he was on Earth?
No, he already had the name. Sam didn't give him Bumblebee. Okay.
I want to know where the name came from.
I do too.
Like, I get that he has like the knife hands, the stingers, if you will, and whatever, but I don't think they have the frame of reference for bees.
Fair.
So I'd like to know where that came from. But yeah, overall acting, dude, pretty freaking good.
Yeah, I feel one that really stood out was John Hamm as Sentinel Prime. He was fantastic. So good.
Dude, I had a hard time placing his voice.
Same here.
Like, I was like, when I was going through the cast list, I was trying to like place it because I was like, all right, obviously, Alpha Trion was Lawrence Fishburne. Like, yeah, you could pick his voice out. That's easy. Yeah, million miles away. And then, like, everyone else is like Steve Buscemi's. Like, I was able to place all of theirs really quick. But Sentinel, I was just like, I swear, like, I know this voice from somewhere. But yeah, I couldn't place it until like the credits were rolling and they're just like, yeah, freaking John Hamm. But yeah, he did really good as well. I don't think there's a single person that brought it down. At least not too much. If anyone, it was Bumblebee for me.
Then that's fair.
But I mean, all even the extra. Like Decepticons, like freaking Soundwave and Shockwave, like they were freaking hilarious. Like, I love like, I think it was Soundwave that was like, why would we follow you? And then she, like, Alita freaking like rips him like a new ass, and he's like, we're gonna follow you, like, immediately. I love the jokes that the Decepticons got. And I love the lore behind them too.
Like, yeah.
This added such a good lore to the Decepticons where it's not just, oh, they're just automatically following Megatron and just like for no reason whatsoever. It's like, no, they were the High Guard, some of the greatest fighters of all of Cybertron. And they knew the betrayal that happened from Sentinel, and so they were just kind of like fighting the good fight in the shadows, if you will. And I love that. I love that aspect to them because it made them feel like superheroes.
Yeah.
Like, and even when Optimus started like more or less commanding them and like leading them, I was just like, this tracks, dude. Like, this absolutely tracks.
100%.
Yeah. Acting, I'm pretty high, dude. I'm probably like a 91.
I was thinking the same thing.
All right, moving on over to character development. Prime time. Like, this is how you do. Like, you got everything. Like, not including Bumblebee and Alita in this. Like, this is purely the development of Optimus and Megatron.
Yeah.
And they did it so well.
They did. Yeah. Like you pointed out earlier, you can understand both sides completely.
Yeah. It there's like, in this instance, I don't feel like there's a wrong side.
Same here.
It's just, are you more of a revenge taker, or are you more a seeker of justice? And like, that's really the deciding factor, because both completely valid.
Yep.
But yeah, I loved it. I loved everything that they did with that.
I just love the fact that, you know, they didn't try to focus on one over the other. Like, they wanted to make sure that both of them had an even split of great character development, so that no matter when we came to the ending of the movie, no matter if you've always been an Autobot or Decepticon fan, if you thought about it, you could completely understand why these two went against each other and why these two factions were formed.
Yeah. And this is a great way to divide what were essentially brothers.
Yeah.
Like, one just took the dark road, one took the road of justice and light, and obviously those two ideals clash, and it just it came to a head, and that made it feel very authentic.
100%.
But what was great about it too is you got to see their growth as characters from the get-go. Like, you got to see them kind of going through hard times, like freaking Megatron hiding Optimus and like the trash bins and stuff, kind of like distracting, like getting him out of trouble. And then you got to see like the nice side of Optimus, like to give him the decal for his favorite Prime. And he's like, he's just like sporting it. He's like, yeah, this is super, super cool. And like you got to see like them kind of be goofy together. And then when they're taken to the races and they're like, like you saw like the trust that they had in each other, where it wasn't just Optimus like going and saving the day, like freaking Megatron was doing it too. Like they were like they were helping each other out, and to the point where it was just like, yeah, like they almost won the damn race as miners.
Yep. Like miners with jetpacks.
Yeah, as practically being nobodies. They almost won that whole freaking thing. And yeah, it's crazy because they work together, and it's just like them working together is awesome. And then just when they go, it just like seeing that, like that camaraderie, and then seeing the slow decline of them kind of like separating, it was heartbreaking, dude. It was so that's when it gets to like that scene where he's like, I'm done like watching your back, and then drops him. I'm like, shit, like that
was so intense,
kick to the nuts. Oh man, but I loved it. I there's zero complaints on my end, dude. Like, this is another category that's in the high 90s.
No, I'm the same way. I got zero complaints as well.
Where are you sitting at?
I am at a 96.
I'm actually at 97 with that.
All right,
next up we got effects, but this is an animated movie, so we are going to be talking about the animation.
And boy, was it beautiful.
Oh, it was so cool. It was so freaking cool, dude. Like, this animation was perfect.
I love that they took the classic designs from the TV show and the movie and just changed, like, just a couple things, you know, like update the designs a little bit, but they still stay true to how these characters originally looked, and as they should look.
Yeah, exactly. And every upgrade that they got made perfect sense as to like why they look the way that they look. Like, I love that they get their initial cog, which just kind of gives them the ability to transform. And then Megatron actually goes through a couple where he's like, his rage is like activating these things, so he gets the freaking cannon on his arm.
Yeah.
And then he goes, defeats Sentinel, rips him in half, takes Megatronus's cog, replaces it, and then he like freaking beefs up more. I'm like, hell yeah. And then same deal with freaking Optimus, like once he gets the what's it called, the something of leadership.
Is it the Matrix of Leadership?
The Matrix, yeah, the Matrix of Leadership. Once he gets that and freaking beefs up to Optimus, like the Optimus Prime, you're like, hell yes.
Like, and then so they're freaking cool.
Yeah. I was worried though, like when he did finally like kind of transform, or once he got like the initial cog, I was like, his little ear things aren't sticking up as high as they should be. So I was worried that they weren't going to do that, but then obviously got the Matrix and they popped up a little bit more.
Yeah.
Like, hell yes. Like, you guys killed it. You guys absolutely killed it.
They really did.
Yeah, but I mean, that was just prime time. One thing I appreciate about the animation, this is one of my big complaints about the Transformers movies in general. Sometimes the action is a little hard to follow. Just because they're clanging around. They're trying to project that these characters are big and massive. Compared to
I completely agree. And that's what kind of sucks about Decepticons, or at least in the Michael Bay ones, because the Autobots are most of them are pretty colorful, you know, Optimus, Bumblebee, Ratchet. Whereas freaking all the Decepticons, at least in the first movie, were either black or gray. That's literally how they were. And so freaking there were moments that, yeah, it was kind of hard to tell which apart.
Yeah. I think this design or this overall look for for the Autobots and Decepticons works a little bit better, because then you got Shockwave, who's purple. Nope. Soundwave, who's purple. Shockwave's is Shockwave purple too? No, he's gray, right?
I don't know, man. You got me. Is Shockwave purple? Is that what you're asking?
Let's see. Shockwave, Decepticons. Looks like he is purple.
And then, why is it when I bring up Shockwave, it brings up that marshmallow guy?
Okay, and then Soundwave is blue.
Okay.
Or blue-ish. Why am I on freaking... Do I like Soundwave better? I think I got it a little mixed up. Yep, I sure do. Yes, Soundwave is the one. Did I say Soundwave or did I say Shockwave?
I can't remember shit.
Okay, whoever, basically the one that doesn't have two eyes is my favorite. Decepticon.
Got it.
Yeah. Yes. Soundwave's my favorite.
So this just shows how much I know about the OG Transformers. I had no idea that Bone Crusher was a Decepticon that was just made for the movies. I thought it was an actual Decepticon. But bring up Bone Crusher Transformers and all you get is just Michael Bay.
Dude,
I guess he was
I felt the same way with freaking Jazz. Jazz was my favorite Autobot to play as outside of Optimus and Bumblebee.
Yeah.
From the games. And so seeing him kind of get a little shout out in this movie was great for me.
That was cool. Yeah, he definitely deserved that after Megatron wanted two, not one. Or he didn't want just a piece.
Yeah.
That scene, so messed up. Megatron is such an asshole for that.
Yes.
It's like, oh, you got jokes, Megatron. Okay.
Oh, man. The animation was so good here. It really was freaking good. This is one I have zero complaints on.
Are you going 100? Because I am not. I'm sorry.
I don't think I'm quite at 100 yet. I think what could have bumped this is stylized animation. Not obviously not not doing exactly what's Into the Spider-Verse did, but I think something stylized in that realm could have really boosted it up for me.
All right.
No, but I'm putting the animation maybe a 92.
Wow, that's a lot lower than I thought you were gonna be.
Well, I don't think it did anything too extreme with the animation.
That's fair.
This is one that I the thing that I would honestly, other than a couple scenes, if you were to take a couple scenes out, I would probably be in the 80s.
All right.
Because I don't think the animation's too fancy, I'll say. That's how I'll word it. But I think with some of the scenes, though, they did look freaking incredible. I loved when they got to the surface and just those wide shots of everything, and just seeing Cybertron. How do you make a non-organic organic planet, and I loved what they did with it.
Yeah, shit, man. Okay, you know what? I'm gonna match you. 92 as well.
All right, next up we got music, which this is probably one of the lower parts of the movie.
Yeah, nothing really huge to write home about.
Yeah, I mean, they definitely did have some like epic action sequences, or like the obviously like the soundtrack for that was epic and everything.
Yeah.
And it fit well with the scenes. I just don't know if it's, I'd probably be at like a 6.5. So whichever way you want to go with that.
I'm personally at a 6.
Yeah. Close call. Really close call.
Yeah.
I think what would really like got me pumped up is during the credits have like a freaking crazy rendition of the Transformers. Like,
yeah, that,
I would have gone nuts.
That would have been awesome. That would have been so freaking cool.
Freaking pumped, dude. All right. Next up, costumes, but with this being animated, we're going to be talking about the character design. I don't believe I have to say it. 10 out of freaking 10.
Yeah. Like, literally, you took kind of like what I pointed out with the effects. You took the designs, how they originally looked in the cartoon, and just bumped it up to an 11 in the best way possible.
Yeah, you freaking pimped them out.
Yep.
I was honestly worried with how like Megatron looked, but he got intimidating real quick.
Yeah, for real.
Yeah, and then, gosh, like he got so much cooler once he activated the freaking arm cannon. I was like, freaking A, like this works so well. And then I wasn't on like completely on team Orion Pax until he went Optimus Prime.
Fair.
But Optimus Prime was the bomb, dude. His freaking battle axe hand, I was like, hell to the yes.
Dude, freaking, I've always loved the OG design for Starscream, and freaking seeing that in this animation was so freaking cool. That just put a huge smile on my face.
Yeah, dude, same with like some of my favorite Soundwave and Shockwave, like perfect.
Yeah.
Like they couldn't have done it better. Say like Bumblebee, I dug Bumblebee's look.
Yeah, same here. I think the only thing I maybe would have changed about Bumblebee is like, I don't know, would you have wanted him to be more, a little more yellow, not gold? Or were you fine with this color?
I was fine with the color. I would have added some black.
Okay, yeah, I can agree with that.
Especially with him working in like waste. Like, I think him having like just a constant like dark spot would have, and then once he transforms, like that just kind of like goes with him.
Yeah.
Like, I think that would have explained like the overall look of him a bit better. But yeah, I was fully on freaking team Optimus. Once he activates the freaking battle mask, I'm like, hell yes. So pumped. So freaking pumped. Like, everything that they did was so good.
It really was.
Like, everyone looked amazing. Like, exactly how you would imagine them to look in the old show.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Easy 10 out of 10 there. All right. Last up, we got our own personal scores.
Who's going first?
That's up to you.
Since I end the episode, do you want to go first?
Sure. This is now my new favorite Transformers movie in general. This is an incredibly well done story that takes itself just the right amount of serious, but still has like really good elements of fun in it. And when they get serious, they get freaking serious. But when it's everything, like the rest of the time, they keep it very lighthearted and fun, and they keep it going. Like the pacing here is incredible. I love what they did. Absolutely love what they did here. It was really well done, and one that I plan on watching quite frequently once it comes to streaming. Because like I want to freaking blast. I want to recreate the I Am Megatron scene, like in my shop with like the badass like speakers and everything. Like I want to freaking relive that.
Yes.
So yeah, gosh, I think I'm gonna put this at like a 93. Like I'm crazy about this movie. Yeah.
Absolutely agree with everything that Caleb said. Like this is the best Transformers movie to date. This was like the apology letter not the first Transformers movie that Michael Bay did, but all of the sequels that followed. This was Paramount being like, hey, we know those sucked, and we know you guys actually like love seeing Transformers on Cybertron where they should be. So we're going to give you this movie. You guys deserve it. And they were right. We did deserve it. They killed it. Everything was just fan-freaking-tastic. I have very little complaints. And just like Caleb, I can't wait to revisit this movie once it comes to streaming. I got to point one thing out really quickly. So I saw this movie twice in theaters, once in 2D, once in 3D. 3D was pretty damn good for this movie. Like, and I mean, honestly, you could say that about any animated film, but like a Transformers animated film, that this shit looked fantastic in 3D.
Damn.
So
that's one thing feel like I missed out on. I did not get to see this in 3D.
It was kind of annoying though, because there was a family behind me that wouldn't stop talking, but oh well.
Dude, we could have a whole other podcast about freaking movie theater etiquette.
We really could.
Freaking bullshit.
Yeah. So I think I'm just gonna be a little below Caleb at a 91.
Hell yeah. All right, going through these scores real quick. Starting off with story, we ended up averaging out to a 95.5. The writing is sitting at a 93. Acting is sitting at a 91. Character development gets a little bit of a bump, sitting at a 96.5. The animation is sitting at a 92. The music is the lowest point of this movie, sitting at a 6 out of 10. The cost or the character design is sitting at a very strong 10 out of 10. And then our personal score ended up averaging out to a 93. So with that, the final All Bros letter grade for Transformers 1 has come out to an A-.
Let's go.
Hell yes. That is perfect. I was so worried that 6 was going to bump it or throw it down into the B+ range.
I was too, but we pulled through, or it pulled through.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Yeah. So this is sitting at it's sitting at 92% even.
All right, I like that.
Like dead even, like 92.0.
Damn. All right, let's go.
Yeah, and I can't think the last time that's ever happened. Like it's been a hot minute. But yeah, so Transformers 1 is sitting below. It's below Elvis.
Okay.
It is below A Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood.
Okay.
It is below the Bob's Burgers movie.
That's fair.
It is below Joker.
Yeah, I can definitely agree with that.
and it is below Pulp Fiction.
Okay. Yeah.
Going the opposite direction, it is sitting above Logan.
Wow, damn.
Right?
Holy shit.
It is sitting above the Batman.
Again, wow. Holy shit. Okay. Yeah.
It is also sitting above the Super Mario Bros. Movie.
Okay.
It is above Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2.
Okay.
And it is above Coco.
Whoa.
I had a feeling you were going to have some thoughts about that one.
No comment.
Dude, it's a pretty decent home. So our A minus is between a 94% and a 90%. And this is okay, sitting right in the middle at 92.
Damn. That's insane.
Yeah, like 94% is when you start getting into like the A range. So this is 1 or 2% shy, which I think is okay. Totally on par.
Yeah. I agree.
Honestly, if you would have given us the freaking Transformers theme, it probably would have been higher.
Missed opportunity.
Missed opportunities.
Yeah. All right. Well, unless Caleb, you have anything else you want to add for Transformers 1?
Nope.
Okay. Well, if you liked this episode and want to listen to more, be sure to check out our podcast wherever you listen to podcasts. You can find us damn near everywhere. We're on Spotify, Google Podcast, iHeartRadio, iTunes Podcast, or Apple Podcast. Wow. All of those. If you can't find us, I would be very, very shocked.
Yeah, I would.
If you want to check out our social media, you can do so. We are at the All Bros on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok. I think that's it. Did I miss one?
I don't think so.
Okay, cool. So you can find us on all those. If you want to email us, you can do so. theallbroschannel@gmail.com. If you want to check out our website, tinyurl.com/theallbros. Or you can check out our merch store. tpublic.com/user/theallbroschannel. Next week on the podcast, we will be breaking down a movie. I don't think Caleb's seen it yet.
Not yet.
So I am really, really excited to hear what you think, because I feel I'm one of the like people that is like, actually, I think it's good. So like, I'm very interested to see what you think. But next week is going to be our breakdown of Joker Filet à Deux. So I am freaking stoked for that episode.
Dude, I'm so nervous about going to see this.
did you see that they already announced the streaming day for it?
Oh man.
Less than a month. Not this Tuesday, the day that we're recording this on. Next Tuesday is when it comes to streaming.
So the day we record,
yeah, this episode, so
the 22nd.
Okay. You know what? Let me just double check really quickly.
Dude, that is freaking hilarious.
I'm not gonna get into it. I'm gonna save it for the episode because, yeah. Where is this? Okay, my bad. It's not next week, the following week. So October 29th is when it will be available to purchase. But like you said, less than a month. Yeah, they pointed out right here, just 25 days after the movie opened in theaters.
Damn.
Yeah.
That is no good. I'm pumped. I'm so pumped.
I am very, yeah, I cannot wait to hear your thoughts. I'm very excited.
Oh my gosh.
But yeah, you can look forward to that next week. But until then, this has been the All Bros Podcast. I am Jonathan.
And I'm Caleb.
And we'll catch you guys next week. So long.
Deuces.